This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to the Rocks Pile Podcast, part of Fansided Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Kevin Henry and Noah Yingling.
Welcome into the Rocks Pile Rockies Report. I'm Noah Yingling, one of the co-experts of Rocks Pile, and as always, I'm joined by my friend and fellow co-expert, Kevin Henry, who we haven't done a podcast in a while because, well, one, we're busy, and two, where in the world is Kevin Henry?
Well, I was luckily in Eugene, Oregon, catching up with the Spokane Indians. You can check out my interview with Zach Veen on rockspile.com, as well as one that we'll be having soon with starting pitcher Tony Losi. So looking forward to that. But Noah, it was 61 degrees in Eugene, Oregon, whenever I was there. A little bit cooler than it will be in downtown Denver this weekend for those Padres to come to town.
Yeah, and as I was telling you earlier, we had it here in Ohio, too.
Yep.
100 degrees and 70% humidity. I believe, as we've talked about a lot lately with the Rockies play, it's very similar. 100 degrees and 70% humidity, suboptimal and ill-advised.
Two words that unfortunately have become a part of the Rockies lexicon over the last few weeks. And Noah, I think it's time for some changes. I think it's time that we, as the Purple Kingdom here, that we look and we say, you know what, the Rockies are 10 games under 500 heading into this weekend series with the Padres, and we are recording this on Friday morning. And we understand that Sam Hilliard has been optioned to AAA Albuquerque. We do not know the corresponding move for that. With Garrett Hampson on the COVID list, with Sam Hilliard now optioned to Albuquerque, I have faint hope that the bench will be fortified with some young talent, maybe some talent that we're hoping to see get some at-bats. Maybe Mr. Montero makes a return. We know Sean Bouchard has been called up from AAA to be a part of that bench. We're going to meet him later today at Coors Field. But no, this is a team that it needs something injected into it, and it can't be just, you just know they're going to hit.
And the reason why is, you know, they aren't going to hit. I really, it's as simple as that. I mean, Manny Randhawa had the tweet. Now, I hate to cite Manny because, you know, he doesn't believe in tacos, so he's a bad person. He posted, of course, Manny is a good person, but, you know, by the rules of Twitter, he's a bad person. he listed by OPS the Rockies' three worst seasons. And the three worst seasons are this year, last year, and the year before. This year, it's the lowest of all of them. I wouldn't necessarily say it's worse than the other two because the ball is not as – offense has not been as high as it was the previous 2 years. But there's still no question that it's not good.
No.
And the Rockies have been saying this, how especially power. It's been terrible. They cannot hit for power to save their lives.
Yeah, the problem has become that the Rockies have turned into a team that pitches well. The starters have done a pretty decent job this year. But it has been something that there has been little run support at times, especially lately. You know, you can look back to some moments in some series where the offense – reared its head. But for the vast majority of this season, it has been what we've seen. It's been like yesterday's game against the Guardians. Bases loaded, nobody out. The Rockies get one run out of it. And there were several instances throughout the series where you knew one hit could have turned that game around, and they just can't get that hit whenever they need it.
And, I mean, we even talked the last time we did a podcast of how the previous homestand, how if they just had one hit here or one hit there, one opportune hit, and instead of going, what were they on that homestand? I believe they were 2-5.
Yeah.
And instead of going 2-5, they could have been 5-2.
And that feels like the story of the season, to be perfectly honest with you. It does. The Rockies with enter Friday's play with a not so nice 69 minus run differential, which is, let's see, that is third in the National League behind Washington and the Pittsburgh Pirates. They are the only team in the National League West outside of Arizona with the negative run differential, and they are 13.5 games behind the Padres, who, yes, the Padres lead the National League West coming into this weekend series at Coors Field. I think it starts and ends with hitting. I think that at some point you have to look at what has been the constant, and I think the only thing that is hotter right now than the temperatures in Denver and Ohio could well be the seat that Dave Magadan sits upon.
And I'm calling a spade, that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a now don't get me wrong, in the last 37 games where the Rockies are 11-26, the pitching staff has not done well. And that's a big reason why they've regressed. They're on pace for 94 losses.
Yes.
Mind you, this is when last year, year before, Dick Monfort interpolated, quote unquote, that they would win 94 games. They're on pace to lose 94 games as of this recording. So, and that's because, I mean, they're 11-26 in their last 37. Like you said, pitching staff has not been great. 5.35 ERA is not going to help things. But when you're having, you can't hit for power, and you're scoring four runs a game, and look at the slugging percentage. As we said, power, 3.68 slugging percentage.
Yeah.
That's not very good.
No. And, you know, you and I were talking right before we came on the podcast about the All-Star game that is coming up. And, you know, I think it's a foregone conclusion at this point, unless something were to happen, that Daniel Bard is going to be Colorado's representative at the All-Star game. I still think, had Tyler Kinley not been injured and lost for the season, I think Kinley could well have been in there over Bard. But CJ Krohn, a lot of people were saying he could well have a shot at it. His play over the last 15 games, where he's hitting, I believe, 203 during that time, it's submarined him just as much as having Freddie Freeman and Pete Alonso and Paul Goldschmidt also competing for that first base spot in the All-Star game.
Now, we didn't talk about this before, but I'd be interested to see your comparison. If you think this comparison is good. CJ Krohn is last year's Ryan McMahon. Great start. Everybody thought he'd be an all-star, could be even home run derby, and just plummeted.
That's an interesting thought, you know, and I'll be interested to see how it plays out. That's a good point, something to really watch as we head toward the all-star break. You know, how much does CJ turn around? And another thing that really jumps out at me right now, he has one home run in his last 15 games.
Yep.
You know, and you were talking about the lack of power. That's been part of it. You know, Brendan Rodgers had the 3 home run game against the Marlins. Outside of that, look at the home runs that the Rockies have produced in the month of June. And it's mind-boggling how low that number is.
And something else that has been a constant problem for the team in the last few years, why don't they get power? They don't elevate the ball.
Yep.
If you're pounding the ball into the ground, you aren't going to hit home runs. You aren't going to hit doubles. You aren't going to get hits that often.
Agreed.
And look at ground ball rates on these players. And it's like, holy crap. I believe it's of the top 60 in the 60 highest of qualifiers for this year. If I'm not mistaken, there's 6 Rockies in there.
Yeah. And again, it, you know, that's without Raimel Tapia, you know, who really, you know, for lack of a better term, took a beating for him beating the ball into the ground constantly. But this is something that has become a Rockies thing. It really seems like, you know,
I'm looking at the list right now. There's 3 Rockies in the top 14. Can you name them?
three Rockies in the top 14. Did Grichuk get in there?
He is number two.
Okay. I was going to say, I heard something the other day about how Grichuk and Tapia switch personalities. Did a Freaky Friday almost. Who else is in there?
Brendan Rodgers is at number 10.
All right.
And Jose Iglesias is number 14.
That would be Jose Iglesias, the only Rockies batter at this moment who is qualified, who has an over 300 batting average. The only one.
Also in the top 60 are Connor Joe and Charlie Blackmon. So there's five of them in the top 60.
Yeah. And the thing about this Rockies lineup, you know, if you've watched more than one game, you realize that the lineup doesn't shift a lot. Obviously, the bench pieces are there to be bench pieces. They don't often get the starts. And it's understandable. But at the same time, you roll out the same 9 or 10 guys with the same 9 or 10 results, and you end up 10 games under 500.
If you always do what you've always done, you will always get what you have always gotten.
You know, and you brought up slugging percentage a minute ago, and the thing that is really interesting to me, you know, obviously it's low as a team, as you mentioned. There are two guys over 400 slugging percentage-wise, just two, Crone and Blackmon.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, on that ground ball percentage, if you reduce it from qualified plate appearances to 150 plate appearances,
yep,
in the top 60 – Joe and Blackmon fall out, but Diaz and Daza also get in.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of Diaz, that's a problem right now. Yeah. It really is. You know, Diaz is a guy that I think has been passed at the moment by Brian Servin, and I never would have thought before the season started that we would have said that. But I think if you start watching this team, you're going to notice Brian Servin getting a few more innings than maybe originally thought he would, just because of how horrific Diaz is right now at the plate.
And for those of us, and I was one of them included, who said, hey, he had this start last year, but he started hitting better 2 weeks ago on the calendar this year.
Yep.
Or last year, I should say. And granted, the season started a week later, but he's had roughly the same amount of playing time and nothing's changed.
No. And as we said, this feels like a something has to change type of podcast. It feels like a moment for the Rockies. I think getting swept at home by Cleveland, which, by the way, is a much better team than people realize, I think.
Yeah,
they absolutely are. So, you know, I think it's better, and this is going to sound weird, better to get swept by the Guardians at home than to lose two or three to the Royals at home.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat. Yeah. So, but let's talk about some of the changes. Let's talk about what's to come. We're going to do a lot more of that right after the break here on the Rocks File, Rockies Report. And Kevin Henry back alongside my friend and colleague, Noah Yingling. We are the co-experts for RocksPile.com, and this is the Rocks Pile Rockies Report. I feel like it's not a very positive edition of the Rocks Pile Rockies Report, to be perfectly honest with you.
And we don't have the purple pom-poms out.
We don't. And, you know, the timing of this podcast, doing it on Friday morning, you know, as we mentioned before the break, Sam Hilliard has been sent down to Albuquerque. We don't know the corresponding moves. We don't know who's going to be on that bench right now as the Padres come into town. And by the way, it's a Padres team that is red hot, took care of the Cubs at Wrigley, has been scoring a lot of runs. And for those of you who have been following the Rockies for any time, Father's Day and the Padres coming to town equates into wild Coors games. So just buckle up. This could be what's actually solves the Rockies' offensive problems, is just getting the Padres at Coors.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's the worst thing that the Padres are coming to Coors, because one, the Rockies have played better against the Padres compared to other NL West teams. And they might actually get the bats going.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's weird that you say that, because I was thinking back, you know, Colorado took two of three in San Diego from the Padres.
They split.
Yeah. I apologize. I forgot about that nasty doubleheader. But they split in San Diego a place where it's been hasn't been the greatest place for the Rockies in seasons past. So a little bit of hope heading into the homestand that quickly dissipated. So can they find it again against the Padres? I think you've got a great point.
Well, I mean, even last year, the Rockies were 11-8 against the Padres.
Yep.
And before that, yeah, it was awful. But
and you've heard me say this, and I may even say this on this podcast, but I still think one of the best offseason moves of any team was Bob Melvin coming on board as the Padres manager.
Yeah,
this is not the Padres team that collapsed last year. I think this is a much better Padres team, and I think it's one that is absolutely going to keep churning alongside the Dodgers for the NL West.
I mean, they're in first place above the Dodgers right now. And how many innings has Fernando Tatis Jr. played for them this year?
As many as I have, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
You would be. You are correct, sir.
You know? And that's the thing. They will have an interesting choice to make when Tatis returns back. But how the Padres are different with Tatis than the Rockies are with Chris Bryant is they don't need Fernando Tatis back right now. It will be a luxury when he comes back. It feels like when you go to Coors Field, the Rockies are just dying for Chris Bryant to be healthy and be a part of that lineup. And I get why. But at the same time, it's such a difference in the two franchises right now.
And I don't think we've ever talked about this on the podcast ever. The Rockies don't have any depth.
No.
Hey, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but if you didn't know, the Rockies don't have any depth.
Yeah. And I think that's where whenever we're talking about changes have to happen and everything else, I think that they've got to actually see.
Yeah. It's not necessarily an on the field change. Obviously that would help. It is a philosophical change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the depth for this is not major league ready. You know, absolutely. You know,
Who knows? Maybe Bouchard does well and
maybe,
who knows? Maybe Crone gets out of his slump and, if Bouchard's playing well, we can plug him in at first. We can plug Montero in at first, and we can trade Crone. Who knows? But, I mean, something has to give.
But do you remember last year? Do you remember a gentleman by the name of Taylor Motter?
Yeah.
Does that name ring any bells? And everybody was like, maybe he'll inject some life into it. They haven't found that guy yet. I think Montero can be that guy, but he's actually got to get at-bats to be that guy.
Yeah. And enough of the nickel and diming him of, you're in the majors, but you're on the bench, but, you're going to DH and you're going to hit ninth, or, you're going to be a pinch hitter. No. Either play him or keep him in the minors.
Yeah. And what you just said a moment ago about potentially trading Crone, I think that you've got to look, if you're the Rockies, about Jose Iglesias is a great trade piece. He's one of your best trade pieces. How are you going to fill that? Is it going to be Trejo now as the bridge for Tovar to come in? Or do you start pushing Tovar up the ranks and see if it's even possible for him to see Coors this year?
I'll give you a very good answer. I say the second you trade Iglesias, you bring Tovar up. Because what has Trejo done in Albuquerque? Now, granted, he hasn't gotten a ton of playing time down there.
Right. And he's been injured.
But what has he done down there?
Yeah. And the problem is that I think this is the season. You're 10 games under 500. The Dodgers and Padres are not going anywhere. And if they do, guess who's going to rise? The Giants.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's not going to be four wild card teams come out of that West. Okay.
No.
Let's be honest. No, it's not going to happen. So see what you've got in Tovar. See what you've got in Tolia. See what you've got in Montero.
Yeah.
Give them the playing time. And yes, I realize that may mean moving Ryan McMahon off third base for a little bit and moving him over to a different position. But you know what? That's the only way that this team is going to actually figure out if these guys are part of the next generation or not. And it goes back to that article that you wrote so long ago about it being a critical season. I think that was last season you talked about that with the Rockies.
Yeah.
And I still think we're in that critical time where they don't know what they don't know about these guys.
And I'll bring up another guy who they should, at bare minimum, look at, really talk to some teams and see, what can we get for him? It's Charlie Blackmon.
Yeah. Yeah.
He spent 10 years with the team. The only other guy to do that is Todd Helton. And okay. But he has a player option for next year. Now, granted, it's going from $21 million to $10 million. But then he's a free agent after that. He's not getting any younger.
No.
And he'll be 36 here in 2 weeks.
Yep.
And we've seen the Rockies have to get better defensively in the outfield. You sent your best defensive outfielder to the minor leagues because he can't hit.
Yep.
Something's got to give.
It does. I agree. And I am also of the opinion that no option should be off the table.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely not. And especially, how many times did we get last year where we said, hey, they should examine trading Marquez? Oh, no. Why would you ever do that? What's he done since?
Right. Yeah.
It's like crap. Now, granted, the last 2-3 games, he's been better. But, I mean, it's been 11 months since he showed that he was an all-star worthy player.
If you go back in a time machine and tell a Rockies fan, you can get in there, go back to last year's All-Star game and trade Ramon Marquez for X player. You know, would they have done that? Looking now, knowing what they know now. And I think the vast majority would sit there and really go, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not Marquez for a player being named later, but
no.
Hey, if you give us a decent package. Yeah.
Yeah.
Senzatella, same thing.
There's nobody who should be untouchable for the Rockies. I will dare say I think Charlie is. Maybe he shouldn't be, but I think he is.
Yeah, he shouldn't be.
He shouldn't be. But I do think that there's a lot on that legacy, that whole – I mean, the way that the Rockies marked his service time the other day and the great lengths that they went to acknowledge – that, as well as all 10 were with the Rockies, you get how important it is to this franchise that Rockies or the Charlie's a homegrown Rocky.
Yeah.
And I think for him, too. Yeah. And I think it's been bad enough to see Nolan in a Cardinals uniform, Trevor in a Rocky or a Red Sox uniform, to imagine Charlie in, you know, who a Phillies uniform or, you know, whoever it might be. It's a weird thought.
I'll throw a team out there.
All right.
And our colleague Robert Murray has been saying how this team has been looking for left-handed bats.
Yep.
What if he joins his old teammate Raimel Tapia up in Toronto?
I think there would be a lot of Rockies fans who would really become Blue Jay fans at that point. You know, and we talk about the NL West. Look at that AL East and how that's going to come down too. With Boston and New York and Tampa and Toronto. And there's going to be some really good teams out of that division who don't see the postseason.
Or we very well could see 4 teams in the postseason there and just have the division winners in the Central and East or Central and West.
Yeah. Which is a possibility too.
Cause I mean, the West stinks outside of the Astros.
Oh, yeah.
And the White Sox, they're a train wreck.
Yeah. It is weird to say that I'll be interested to see what Cleveland does at the trade deadline.
Yeah,
I absolutely will.
Which I will offer my 2 cents on that one. I will say that they will go after somebody that will help them in the regular season. But if they get to the postseason, they'll choke. Because what have they done for the last 74 years?
Yep.
Choke.
It's unfortunate.
And not to mention their outfield. Granted, they have Stephen Kwan, which we saw him make that great play at Coors.
Yep.
There are outfielders. Stephen Kwan, he has played in what, 55 games or so? He is their third best outfielder since Manny Ramirez.
Yeah.
I mean,
that says a lot right there, right?
In seriously. 20 years. In fact, if I'm not mistaken by WAR, he is actually the third best outside of Grady Sizemore and Michael Brantley.
Oof. Oof-ta.
Speaking of and oof-ta. They wonder why they have not done well in the postseason.
Agreed.
Again, it's the same concept as the Rockies. Well, the outfield, okay. And the Guardians have this too, nearly said Indians again. they have a log jam, quote unquote log jam, of players in different positions. Not really. So, like the Rockies in the outfield. Okay, you have this quote unquote log jam, but you have below average player, below average player, below average player, average player, average player, below average player. That's not really a log jam.
Yeah.
That's okay. The Phillies with Schwarber, Castellanos, Harper, since he's injured and can't play the outfield. Okay, that's a bit of a log jam because really all three should be DHs, but at least all three can hit.
Right. Agreed. Agreed completely.
The Rockies don't have that concept of we have too many outfielders that can hit.
Yeah. And again, goes back to something's got to give. And yeah. You can't just sit back and say, well, it'll turn around. Because at that point, you're going to be 20 games under 500.
Yeah.
And if you look at the schedule coming up, and we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, but I will tell you, this Minnesota-Miami road trip that is coming up, that could be a brutal road trip for this team.
Yeah.
It really could. Yeah.
And the Twins are the best team in the Central.
And Miami is a tomb or a cemetery, usually, for the Rockies when they go to South Florida. I mean,
their offense is not great by any stretch, but you're facing Alcantara, Lopez for two of those three games.
Yeah.
Toast. So, yeah. The Rockies are already toast for the year, but I mean, the offense would really be toast at that point.
I think it'll be interesting to see when they actually admit that this is a team that needs to sell. You know, judging by last year's lack of much at the trade deadline, will this team actually admit that it needs to sell off its pieces and get better?
Yeah.
And I think by the time that the Rockies return home for that 4th of July or right before 4th of July series, which, by the way, then they go to Los Angeles for four games. So at that point, you know, when do you start saying, okay, somebody wants to talk about Iglesias. Somebody wants to talk about Crone. Somebody wants to talk about Bard even. Let's talk. Yeah. So,
and I hopefully, assuming the Rockies are in roughly the same position they are right now in a month or 6 weeks when the trade deadline is, or roughly 6 weeks. Hopefully, if Bard is healthy and pitching as well as he is, hopefully they trade him.
Yeah.
Because he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yep. Yeah. There's a lot of signs pointing to what they should do. Now, what will they do? That's the other question. So
yeah, and essentially that's a big moment for Bill Schmidt too. Yep. I mean, there were how many neon signs were there on the road for Jeff Breidich saying, do this, and he completely ignored it.
Well, you know,
Bill Schmidt, now that he's the driver, is he going to do the same thing? Or is it really Bill Schmidt isn't the driver? He's the navigator. He's the passenger. And it's Dick Monfort driving. And Dick Monfort still is. Jeff Breidich jumped out a few miles back. Now that Bill Schmidt's the navigator, is it Dick Monfort driving or is it Bill Schmidt driving?
My prediction is that because of what happened with John Gray and Trevor Story last year's trade deadline, I don't think the Rockies sit pat again at this trade deadline.
They should.
I think they actually make the moves that they need to make this year. That's a prediction. We'll see if it becomes a reality or not. So
yeah, because if they don't, if you always do what you've always done, you will always get what you've always gotten. And what have they got? Nothing.
Yep. So speaking of doing stuff, I know you have some articles that you're working on right now for right. Call of the Pen as well as rockspile.com. And I think the one that I'm quite interested in is the one you were talking about earlier with the philosophical change. Yep. So, I'm curious to see what that turns out as you start writing about that.
By the way, with some other people that they could trade, we mentioned Iglesias, Bard, possibly Crone, Chad Kuhl.
Yes.
Free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah. And I think Kuhl could well be your second or third. I in my head, I don't know if they trade Crone. I really don't. And again, I'm going with my head, not my heart on that one. But
I'm going to go with my head and say they should. I'm going to go with my heart and say they won't.
Right. Exactly. I think Crone will stick around. I think Cool, it definitely is right there with Iglesias as a real possibility, though, for sure.
Column A as well.
Yes. Column A has become a real hot property all of a sudden. You're right.
But Chacin and Estevez are also free agents.
You know,
what are you going to get for them?
I am trying to picture right now a Rockies bullpen without Daniel Bard, without Tyler Kinley, without Alex Colome. And it is a frightening thought.
Another one to consider, Randall Grichuk.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Grich has had his moments, but I don't think he's been the impact player that everybody thought he was going to be so far.
Yeah. But as we've seen in his career, look at his stats.
Yep.
OPS plus since 2016, 102, 95, 117, 93, 114, 87. This year was supposed to be the even yeared, numbers are up. And his numbers are the lowest in his career. Why? He's not hitting for power.
Right. Exactly. And there's a part of me that I hope that somebody actually sees some of these numbers and goes, maybe Coors isn't a hitter's paradise for everybody.
No.
You know? Seriously.
Look on Baseball Reference, for example, and the one-year park factors are 113 for batting, meaning it's a 13% overall favor for batters. Like, it's really not.
Yeah.
It's really not.
It's unbelievable. Well, Noah,
say that, and every game will be 14-13.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, we've talked about Coors and Padres. I will be very interested to see how this goes. I will be down at Coors all weekend, so certainly keep up with us on Rockspiled FS on Twitter, as well as the articles that Noah and I are both doing for Call of the Pen and Rockspile, and Noah's even contributing to the fan-sided MLB site as well. So nicely done there.
One article, too, that you will probably see on the site. In fact, might see it today. Of what I have seen, and I will double check to make sure before I write it. Of what I have seen, there is one MLB team this far into the season that has had a worse record than the Rockies do right now and have made the postseason. And that team also made it to the World Series. And that team is also not a Colorado Rockies team. Granted, no. The Rockies in 07, 09, 18 had slow starts. Some of the slowest starts, in fact, in baseball history of getting to the playoffs. But not the slowest.
It's a good tease, and it's going to be a good article. I'm looking forward to reading that. We will have some information on the newest Rockies, the moves that were made, what this means to the team. We're keeping up with all of that on rockspile.com. So please make sure you're following us on Twitter, as well as checking out our fresh content every day. For my friend and colleague, Noah Yuengling, this is Kevin Henry signing off. And as always, go Rockies.